What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
What's up, everyone? It's your boy, Gray Haas, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church in Broad Ripple, Indiana, where we give our Mega Church a tiny family feel. You know what? It's awesome, the episode we've got today, because my co-host, Hallie Lavant, is taking the week off, and I thought it would be an awesome opportunity to bring on her teenage son, Day. Now, Day is someone we've had on the podcast before. And, you know, I was just reflecting on some of those past episodes. And I think, and listeners have told me this, that they had a problem with how difficult it can be to just hear how challenging being a teenager can be, and how someone like me can really set that teenager straight and on the straight and narrow. And that is awesome. So I did also reflect on some of the past episodes and realize, you know, they were a bit confrontational at times just because I had to take Day to task. And today my vibe is totally chill, cool, calm, collected. There's really nothing that Day could possibly say to me to make me upset, angry, or question anything. And that is how I'm going into this little chat. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my friend, one of my best friends, and one of the best kids I've got in Climax right now. Please welcome Day Lavant. Hey Day, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Gray? That was so nice. Thanks for saying such nice things.
Well, hey, fist bump, buddy.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So, what's up, Day? What's it like to be a teen right now, and what are you into, and how are you? How's your life? Just let's get real.
Oh, you would like this. great. I just was listening to the author of A Year of Living Biblically. You just made me think of this because we fist bumped. Because I was like looking into what it means to live biblically.
Awesome. I love this. What? I mean, Tay, I've got God bumps right now because I just love that you're reading something that has anything to do with living biblically. I've never heard of the book, but go on.
Well, it's this guy, the author, A.J. Jacobs, I think it is. He was talking about how he wanted to follow all of the rules of the Bible for 1 year. So like literally living biblically, you know, literally, like as in actually literally.
Awesome.
And anyway, I thought it was so funny that one of the things you have to do if you want to live according to the rules of the Bible is that, like, for instance, when you and I just fist bumped, I would, if I was actually living biblically, I would have to like stop before I touched you, and I would have to confirm whether or not you have, well, you know, spilled any seed in 24 hours, you know, like blow a load. Like if you have in the last 24 hours, you as a man are technically unclean in the same way a menstruating woman is unclean, according to the Bible. So I should technically ask you if that has happened within 24 hours before touching you, because I would have just broken a rule of the Bible by fist bumping.
Okay, look, nothing is off limits, buddy. You can talk to me about anything, and I'm going to be the adult in the room again and say, no, I haven't, I never have, and it's not a big deal. Anyway.
Oh, whoa. You've never... Nothing has ever come out except urine.
What are the teens into right now? Are you into Minecraft? Are you into your D&D or whatever that was last time?
Yeah, I do a lot of RPG, like sometimes some LARPing, but I don't know. I sometimes get like self-conscious about it.
Why, buddy? You don't need to be self-conscious about it, even though it is a bit nerdy. I think you could just, you know, be free to be you, as long as that you is firmly planted in Christ.
Okay, facts. That's cool. Yeah, but yeah, I play Minecraft. I'm into that. I'm into hardcore, you know, like... lots of like different games. I really like Flight Simulator. I like Sid Meier's Civilization 6, Dota 2, Prey, you know, from 2017, Red Dead Redemption 2, stuff like that. You know, I like Control. Genshin Impact, you know that one?
No.
Stardew Valley, any of those?
I've never heard of any of these.
Grand Theft Auto is still going.
Okay.
Auto 5.
No,
you know?
Don't play that one, Day. I think that one's really bad.
Okay.
Well, anyway, it's awesome to know what the teens are up to. This is great. And I think we've pretty much covered it. And it was great
that
you came on today.
Yeah, it's good to catch up. I'm glad to hear that you're feeling super like... oh, chill, Mookie.
Everything is chill, yeah. And I think that's probably all we need for the episode.
How's it going with you and your friend you mentioned once or twice,
Clay Mason Bannerman? Everything's really good right now, actually. And it's really important to have strong, you know, other guys in your life that are keeping you accountable.
Yeah, like, would you say he's your best friend?
Totally, yes.
Yeah, I like, yeah.
Do you have a best friend?
Yeah, I do, I think. I have a couple of, like, really good friends.
Are you dating anyone? Are you dating any ladies that you like?
Well, I don't, like, you know, go out alone or anything with anyone, yes, but, like, we've hung out with, like, some of my friends hang out with some girls and their friends sometimes,
okay,
like, together.
Just keep it responsible.
There's one girl who's in my homeroom, and homeroom is the one that you always do like active shooter stuff in, and so like I noticed that anytime we're doing active shooter stuff, this same girl who's really nice, like she would always like sit by me and we would talk because in active shooter you have to be like just like crouching down all together, and she would always be like really close to me and we start talking, and so yeah, like we kind of have a conversation that's going, you know, that we just, you know, catch up with anytime we do active shooter stuff, which is really cool.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if it's cool, but...
she's really funny, actually. She started saying this idea that, like, if this were, like, a rom-com in 2022, you know, like a high school rom-com or whatever, this would be the meet-cute part of the movie where, like, we met and became friendly in the active shooter drills, and I started calling her my drill sergeant because she's just, like, smarter and, like, cooler than me, and I'm like, I'll do whatever you say in a real drill, and you're my drill sergeant.
Okay. Anyway, it's been awesome to have you on the episode, and I think we've covered it. okay, don't really want to talk about active shooter stuff because it's not positive, but if we've got some positive stuff we want to talk about, let's go for it.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it? Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Okay, so no death, but what about eternal life?
Yes, there we go. Okay, ding, ding. Way to go, Day.
That's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, actually, is that the Bible, it promises us, if, you know, as believers, it promises us eternal life, right?
Right.
But we have to die first.
Yeah.
So even with the promise of eternal life, there's just no way to get out of dying.
Right. Yeah. But
isn't that kind of convenient though? You know, like the only thing we actually can be certain of in the whole world is that every single human being on the planet will die. But we Christians, we have this very special deal for, you know, any lucky human who joins our team, we can absolutely positively guarantee eternal life. You know, like
Yes. It's
entirely in our grasp
Yes. For
the low, low price of dying first, like everybody else. But then yay, eternal life will kick in immediately when your body dies for the low, low price of saying some magic words along the lines of, dear Jesus, please come into my heart. And then wham, bam, we promise that on the other side of death, everything will instantly be blessed.
Well, I do want to interrupt you there, Day, because it's not a low, low price. It's the ultimate price that Jesus paid. So it's not just about dying. It's about the price that Jesus paid for us to die.
Gotcha. But it's just too bad that we got to die first, like all the other non-believing schmucks, don't you think? Like, and it's just doubly too bad that we have absolutely zero data or evidence or accounts or proof of, you know, proof that any of that actually does happen after death. The church is just saying like, yeah, you're going to kind of have to just trust us on this.
Why do you always got to bring up data?
Well, because it just seems kind of convenient from a sales pitch point of view that, like, you get to promise everything and then deliver on nothing. Like, the promise will come to fruition mystically and magically, hopefully, after you shed this mortal coil. But it does make me wonder, you know, like, if God is all-powerful and the one making the rules of the game and the laws of the universe and all that stuff, like, couldn't God just make it possible for a regular human being like you and me to just, like, ascend into heaven and not have to go through death? Like, wouldn't it be cool to see your loved one in their hospice bed, like, start to smile and glow and have no more pain and start to lift into the sky with a look of pure peace and joy on their face?
What? Okay, no, Day. Why do we always... It's just like, all I want to do with you, buddy, is talk about some cool stuff, and you always got to go here. But no, even, you know, Jesus had to die before he was resurrected. That was the ultimate price.
Okay.
And yeah, I think that should encourage us, Day. You know, we follow in his footsteps, just like he died, he rose again, and then he ascended into heaven. And the Bible tells us that after, you know, we die, we will also ascend into heaven.
So it's just not possible to get out of death?
That's right. But it's like you go through death to get the ultimate prize. Like on Oprah, you know, when she's like, and you get a prize, and you get a prize, and you get a prize.
And that prize is heaven.
Yeah.
So everybody's got to die.
everybody's got to die day, and I'm sorry I can't keep that positive, but it is positive that you get to heaven if you accept Jesus.
Well, this is positive. How do you explain 1 Kings then?
What do you mean?
How do you explain the fact that Elijah ascended to heaven in 1 Kings without dying first?
You got to pull the Elijah card.
Do you need me to give you time to look up that story so you can come up with an answer?
No, it's the 1 Kings. I know it well. It's all the 1 Kings are in it.
It's just that earlier we were mentioning why God, you know, doesn't lift regular human beings like you or me out of this world and just bring us up to heaven and skip the death thing. Like, it sounds like he could. Evidently, he did. According to the Bible, it's possible, but he doesn't. We got to die first and hope that the magic stuff we really believe in happens on the other side. And it's interesting, though, honestly, Gray, like growing up in the church, I learned about the Bible by going to church and having people teach me about what's in the Bible and how to apply it to my life and what to believe. But when things started to not add up to me, like what I started to do is like I started to learn how to put biblical teachings into context to understand them better. And like the fundamental parts of the Jesus story that comprise our basic theology are, would you agree with me? His ministry, his death, his resurrection, ascension, and return, right?
Totally.
Okay. His ministry, death, resurrection, ascension, and return.
Right.
Okay, great. So let's look at that in context and see what we learn. One thing that sticks out to me glaringly right off the bat is that we have many different accounts of Jesus' ministry and death, but not so much about the ascension. Have you ever thought about that? Like, it's barely mentioned and only in Luke, and I really never hear much about it being taught in church spaces. And like, why? You know what I mean?
I mean, there's not much to say else about it, Day. It's the ascension. It's cool. What else you got to say about it?
Well, Jesus was Jewish, right?
Totally.
We agree on that.
Well, he was Jewish, and then he was Jesus, so then he kind of became like he was Christian, basically.
Well, Jesus couldn't be a Christian, technically.
Why?
Because Christian means Christ follower, and it would be really hard to follow yourself.
I've followed myself plenty of times.
I'd love to hear more about that.
Well, sometimes in CrossFit, you've got to drag a weight sled, and you walk backwards.
Okay. Well, we agreed that Jesus was Jewish, right?
Totally.
And he was living in Israel a few thousand years ago, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, let's put that in context. What did the people of his day believe in terms of life and like afterlife? Do you know? Like, what did the Jewish people of Jesus' day think life was, and what did they think the afterlife was?
Well, I mean, I don't want to presuppose that anybody knows that, but I would guess like until Jesus came along, it was pretty dark and dreary, and then Jesus showed up and they were probably like, awesome.
Oh no, we know exactly what that means just by looking at historians and looking at texts and looking at, you know, the actual like scripts of the Bible. But it turns out that Jesus was living in a culture that hadn't been influenced yet by the Greeks, and the Greeks are the ones who came up with the idea of a soul like around the time of Plato. So actually Jesus had no idea, no concept of anything resembling our modern day idea of a spirit or a soul.
I had no idea Plato was that old. I thought that was something that came out in the 80s.
No, Plato, like Platonic, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like the philosopher.
Well, no, I don't do Peloton. It's too many ladies.
Okay. So anyway, you know, so the idea of a soul just simply didn't exist time of the historic Jesus. So in the Jewish framework of Jesus' day, life existed in the body, okay, and like nowhere else. So breath was life, breathing was living, and when you stopped breathing, that was death. And there was no concept of living on in some way, shape, or form without your actual physical body. So a big part of why Jesus had to be resurrected physically before ascending to heaven to be with the Father was because Jesus had no concept of a soul. To him, life, living, being, you know, only existed in the material body. So for him to exist after death, since they didn't have the concept of a soul, the Bible writers had to say that he was physically brought back from the dead, and then his physical body floated up into the sky to go be with God in heaven, which raises a bunch of questions about what heaven is and whether or not, like, you know, there will be bathrooms there, for instance, for digested food to evacuate a physical bowel, etc. But like, let's just like,
nobody is thinking about that. Okay, there definitely will be bathrooms. If there needs to be bathrooms, there will be bathrooms,
because there will be food and feasting, right?
Yeah, that is right. The bathrooms will not be all gendered or whatever that is.
Okay, so our physical bodies in heaven will be digesting food, but won't be gendered.
Right.
Okay.
No, they will be gendered. and they will be digesting food.
Okay, and that's just
that's instinct.
That's just your instinct. Yes. Okay, cool.
Not intuition. I don't have that.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's cut to Paul and his letters to the Corinthians and Thessalonians. Hey, which is actually the earliest text. Did you know that Thessalonians is way older than the Gospels?
Oh, yeah, it reads that way.
So a few years after the death of Christ, here's Paul, right? You love Paul, right?
Love him.
He was writing in 1 Corinthians 15 about different types of bodies. See, why would he be doing that? Well, because Paul was a what?
Paul was a G.
Oh, for Gentile?
No, just like, you know, he's the man.
Oh, well, anyway, yeah, okay, and he was a Gentile. So,
okay, I guess, if you want to call him, he could be a G of a Gentile.
So, Paul was obviously influenced by some Hellenistic ideas that were circulating about a soul, you know? So, Paul, who didn't necessarily believe that life only existed physically in the body like Jesus did, Paul wanted to impress some new ideas upon the Jewish people who hadn't embraced the Gentile idea of a separate soul. So Paul started writing about different types of bodies because, hey, back then they believed the spirit was still material, not an invisible ghost or a force like we do today. You know, the early ideas of the soul were that it was still material. It was made up of mass, you know what I mean? But it was like a much finer mass and not as like crude or firm as these physical bodies that we're in now. So Paul argued that a transformation takes place as our physical body bodies die, a spiritual body that is also material but more sustainable so it can live forever emerges.
Okay, well, you know, I like to talk about bodies, I guess, so.
Oh, yeah, good. Okay, well, so I don't know which different writers of the New Testament you're really into, but like Luke and John, they give a picture of Jesus. Like they talk about Jesus being raised from the dead with his real body, having people touch the wounds, and Jesus was asking for food. Yeah. Like he was raised from the dead with the digestive system.
You'd be
like
hungry
we were saying.
After 3 days, Daddy. Of course. Went to hell for a while. Jeez, work up an appetite.
Oh yeah, he went down and fought the Balrog. So anyway, like so, the gospel writers were describing a resuscitated body, right? That would make sense to the Jewish mind.
Yes.
But Paul, talking to a lot of Gentiles who believed in a soul, started describing a transformed body that wouldn't digest food, wouldn't even need to because now it's a more spiritual body.
Okay,
so Mark, you like Mark, right? Mark
Love
has a
Mark.
Different
Mark, yeah, totally.
Account. So in the account of Mark, the women arrive at Jesus' tomb and they're told that Jesus' body is gone. Go tell the disciples. And do you remember what happened, what the women did?
Yeah, they ran away because that's pretty, you know, that's pretty shocking.
That's exactly right. They ran away in terror and they never told anybody.
Well, in typical ladies, right? I got scared, but I don't want to tell you about really what scared me, you know, or whatever ladies do.
Oh, man, you're Billy Bush and me on the Access Hollywood bus.
What?
I'd like to state for the record that I don't agree with all those disgusting representations of women.
Sorry, Day, but, you know, I work out a lot and I've learned a lot in the locker room, so.
Locker room talk?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, you were right. The women in the original story, in the original version of Mark, the women run away and they're so terrified. They never tell anybody.
I know.
But,
can't you imagine? They're like, where's the body? Where's the body? Where's the body?
But the version of the book of Mark that made it into the canonized New Testament obviously has a different end, which I'm sure you're aware of. It doesn't end with them running away and never telling anyone, because much later, scribes added 12 verses to the end of the book of Mark to close up the whole story in a nice, neat bow. So the scribes, they had, you know, narrative ideas from the other gospel accounts at this point. So they added these 12 verses to put a nice bow on the story. The final verses, they added that the women went and then they told the disciples. And so then the disciples went and met with Jesus. And then Jesus told them to make disciples of all nations. And then he also mentioned that anyone who believes in him can drink poison and handle snakes. Cool, helpful tips for modern living. Jesus, thanks. Or sorry, not Jesus. Scribes. Thanks. Cool, scribes.
Well, you don't want to be handling snakes. I think that is a good tip. And I should know, I live in lived in Australia. One time my grandfather got bit in the face by a snake.
Oh, whoa. Is he okay?
No. Well, his face swelled up like it was a whoopee cushion made out of durian. What?
That's funny.
Not funny day. He drove himself to the hospital that way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they laughed at him there, too.
Did he make it?
To the hospital?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
No, he did. I just wanted you to feel bad. You should never be say stuff like that, Dave, because you don't know.
I'm sorry.
It's like asking ladies if they're pregnant or whatever. Just don't say anything.
Yeah, anyway, how about like never comment on anybody's body ever, because there's really no reason to. Not their hair, not their complexion, not their body, not their weight, not their anything.
Ever. I never do that.
Cool.
Except at the gym. Go on.
Well, we could look at the book of John. Do you like John?
One of my G's, one of my favorites.
Well, you know, like John was also trying to emphasize that Jesus rose in flesh, you know, and went to heaven in the flesh, because he also had no idea of a soul. Like, to him and to Jesus, the afterlife meant that, you know, a dead body was reanimated. Like, Jesus believed that God would raise everyone from the dead, reward the followers with breathing new life into their old body, and then the non-believers would experience a second death. That's actually what Jesus thought. You know, that like that God would raise everybody, reanimate the Christians, and then re-kill the dead people. But actually, that's kind of way more compassionate to be annihilated by God, even though it's a second time, rather than being tormented forever in hell. Like, you know, the idea of an eternal hell wasn't familiar to Jesus either, because hell would decimate a physical body and not torment it for all eternity. You know, but that also means that Jesus didn't believe in heaven, like the way we think of heaven as some other dimension. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus mentioned the kingdom of heaven, and he was talking about our bodies becoming reanimated here on earth. Like, there was no separate otherworldly heaven. Like, the standard Christian view that we hold today of heaven is a mixture of what Jesus was talking about, and then we added in a bunch of like Platonic philosophy, honestly. Like, so I don't know. It raises a lot of questions. Like, did the resurrection really happen? Or did a bunch of Jesus followers, you know, hoping to salvage the message of their dead leader, did they all say that, yeah, I saw him, and so did she, and so did he, and like a bunch of us saw him, and he said a bunch of stuff that buttons everything up real nicely, and he gave us a mission, and then he peaced out by flying up into the sky.
Day, that is very offensive. Maybe you should start thinking about living biblically again. And I just don't, I mean.
Okay, should we start over and like, should I ask you this time before we fist bump?
No, just, okay, finish your thought.
Well, let's look at that one tiny mention of the ascension that only comes in the book of Luke, and let's put it in context, shall we? Like, so ancient Near Eastern cosmology believed in what could be described as a three-tiered universe. Have you heard of that? Like, so
what
in other
in
words,
the world do nail technicians have to do with the universe?
No, I'm talking about the ancient Near Eastern mind of like the origins of stuff, like cosmology, you know, the origins, and the ancient Near Eastern mind, those are the writers of the Bible. So these are things you like.
Wow, cosmology has really changed, I guess, over the years.
Well, have you heard of the three-tiered universe?
No.
Well, it's what all these guys that you really like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them, is how they saw the world. Like, because back then they didn't have satellites or photographs or like air travel, so they didn't know the Earth was a sphere. they believed that we were living in like a three-storied world, essentially. Like heaven is up there above our heads. That's the top floor. And then we here on land, we're in the middle floor. And then the underworld or hell, is literally beneath our feet down there, like the bad place, like scary.
Yeah. I don't know, Day. Sometimes I even think like, is it round? Because like, I've seen some pretty wild videos on YouTube.
Okay. Well, anyway. So this is why the writer of Luke described Jesus as floating up into the clouds. Have you ever thought about that? Like the image of the ascension in Luke?
That'd be sick.
Because like Luke and his audience thought that the cosmos was a three-storied structure with the earth in the middle, heaven above, hell below. Like, okay. Well, the three-storied universe is hard for modern minds to reckon with because now we know the earth is a sphere, obviously. Well, most of us. But since Luke didn't know that, he created a narrative that to the modern mind is like kind of an embarrassing description, don't you think? Like, you know, is that why we don't hear much about the ascension from the pulpit today? You know what I mean? Like maybe Jesus' followers just needed a reason for why Jesus stopped appearing after his death.
Day, I preached on the ascension this year. Don't you remember I showed those awesome videos of me and Clay when we were down in Key West and we both rented the hydro flying suits? And I was like, guys, this is as close as you can get, right? Remember that? We had the X-board suits on and the hydro flying?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, think about Jesus doing that minus the whole thing shooting water down and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You and Clay were kind of like Kristen Bell and Katherine Hahn in WandaVision, just shooting up into the sky and kind of hovering there.
I don't even know any of the things you just said. Never heard of him.
Anyway, I was just going to, I guess, close by saying that, you know, maybe Jesus' followers needed a reason for why he stopped appearing after his death. And maybe what really happened, you know, after the death of a spiritual teacher was that a bunch of his followers were like, I saw him, we talked, he gave us like, you know, really grand, awesome marching orders, and then he ascended. So nothing to see here, everybody, just turn your attention to captivating and colonizing the planet. Sorry, the three-storied universe. It's just pretty wild, you know, that we don't hear much about the ascension of Jesus in the modern church setting because it's so important to basic theology.
Okay, Day. Well, I could go hard right now, and that is something that I have done on you before. And what I'm thinking, though, is I'm going to stay true to what I said at the beginning, which was I am going to have a chill conversation with you. And I'm going to pray for you because I know all will be revealed.
Oh, thanks, man.
And I'm just practicing patience with you and kindness.
I appreciate
that. And even though you can be a bit, I hate to use the word, like a bit of a little idiot.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's just that stuff is all in, it's all good, man. It's all good. Fist bump because Jesus and Christ specifically are going to reveal themselves to you. Himself, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'll fist bump you, man. And you know what? I can tell you that in the last 24 hours, I haven't.
I don't want to know that.
I'm pure,
man. I don't want to know that, Day.
Put it up. Give it to me.
I don't want to ever know
that.
Come
in for a hug, man.
No.
Come on, man.
I don't ever want to know that.
Come on, man.
I don't want to know that.
Come on, man. Give me a hug, Day.
Knock it off.
Come on.
Stop it.
Give me a hug.
Okay, folks, that's our episode. Day Labonte was played by none other than Holly Laurent. Hey, it's the holidays, and that's a perfect time to join our Patreon. You'll get the entire catalog ad-free, weekly, midweek, mini-pods, perks, discounts, and that warm, fuzzy feeling of supporting your favorite podcast. Head on over to patreon.com/megathepodcast. It really is the best way to support Mega and keep us pumping these things out every single week. Thanks and happy holidays.